Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's reading is both accounts of creation from the book of Genesis, starting with chapter 1, selected verses 1 through 5, 9 through 13, 20, 21, and 24 through 27. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind, humankind, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And now the second account of creation from Genesis chapter 2, starting with verses 4b through 9 and 18 through 22. In the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man who he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, it was his name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sal, for reading the two chapters. I purposely picked these two chapters because they normally present the most questions or controversy against the topic of science and religion. So thank you. Let us pray. God, I invite your Holy Spirit right now to lead me as I speak your word. And I pray that your Spirit will open up our hearts and minds as we receive them with meekness and understanding. Amen. As some of you know, I worked at the VA Medical Center here in La Jolla for my CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. I had chances to journey with veterans, both young and old, who were going through various diagnoses and treatment at the VA hospital. They were seeking medical treatments, but they were also seeking tangible ways to experience and reconnect with God. Our experiences at the VA reflect the intersectionality between science and faith. It is a place where the community is coming together to care for patients. There are doctors, nurses, social services personnel, family members, friends, chaplains, and many hospital workers, all offering the time and energy to help patients get well. Through these acts of care, patients are given the best chances for healing and comfort, even as their bodies experience sickness and mortality. I remember one patient, I'll call him Mr. T. Mr. T was having a lot of pain when I came by his room to visit him. He had an advanced stage of cancer. He thought I was a medical worker, so he asked me for some painkillers. I told him I was a chaplain, and he asked me if I could get one of the nurses for him, and I did. After I informed the nurse of Mr. T's request, I came back to visit him, and the nurse came by shortly after and administer the painkiller in his IV. During our visit, Mr. T and I had a good and long conversation about his family. We talked about his daughter and how much he loved her. We shared laughter and we prayed together. But we also addressed the heart problem which he was facing, the problem of his fear of death and all the loss associated with death. Toward the end of our meeting, Mr. T invited me to come back another time to visit him. In this story, Mr. T needed painkillers to relieve the pain in his body, but he also needed emotional and spiritual care as he was battling death. Through nurses who gave him painkillers, which were developed through science, and doctors who used their education to treat his cancer, Mr. T was given a chance to experience alleviation of pain and treatment for his illness. Equally important was the presence of a chaplain who lifts his spirit by providing pastoral care in his time of utter loneliness. Both science and faith work together to bring healing to the patients. This reminds me of the work that God was doing from the very beginning, which was bringing order to chaos and healing and redeeming broken and depravity in the world. In today's scripture, we read from both sections of Genesis 1 and 2. I purposely picked the different sections to compare and contrast the two accounts. According to source critics, these two accounts belong to two different sources that were redacted or put together. Genesis 1 belongs to the priestly source, while Genesis 2 creation account belongs to the Yahweh's source. These two accounts show differences in how the earth was created. The Jewish Bible study says, whereas in the first account of creation, the primordial problem was too much water, requiring God to split the waters and create dry land. Here, referencing to Genesis 2, the problem is too little water. As we can see, there was no water for plants to grow in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. The difference may reflect the geographical locations in which the two creation accounts were written. In Babylonia, where source critics believe Genesis 1 was being written, there was too much seawater threatening the lives of the exiles. While in Genesis 2, which was thought to have been written in the land of Israel, where water scarcity was a constant problem. We also see differences in the created order. Genesis 1 shows that vegetation was the first one being created, then the animals, then human beings. And in this first account, men and women were created at the same time. Now, in Genesis 2, the man was created first. So the human being or the man was created first, and then the plants, and then animals, and then lastly the woman. So you see that they're not the same. Woman and man were created at separate times. It is fair to say that these creation accounts are not based on historical records, but universal stories of origin compiled together by authors with their purpose and intention. The Oxford Bible Commentary states, "The beginning, as they do with the activity of God even before the universe came into existence, they clearly cannot be based on any record of what actually occurred." Rightly so. No one was standing there during the time of creation at the beginning to record everything down. Rather, they were told from narratives and stories of origins told by people living in the ancient Near East and adapted by different authors. Genesis 1 creation story has affinities with the Babylonian epic called Enuma Elish. And in the Enuma Elish, a god named Marduk and a company of other gods came together to fight the sea monster Tiamat, which in Hebrew is Tahom, meaning the deep. And after he defeated her, he created the heaven and earth by dividing her into two. The word "the deep" in Genesis 1, verse 2, is translated from the same word Tahom, the deep. Now, Genesis 2, this creation story resembles the Babylonian epic wherein the wild man Enkidu was fashioned from clay. There is no consensus on when Genesis was written or even on its authorship. Tradition believed that the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, also known as the Pentateuch, were written by Moses. But this view has been widely rejected by biblical scholarship. Based on source critics, Genesis 2 was written by, as I mentioned earlier, the Yahweh source, put together during the time of Israel's united monarchy. So you can imagine the time of David, King David, or King Solomon, or even later. While Genesis 2 was written by a priestly source during the time of the Babylonian exile. So based on source critical biblical scholarship, it is possible that these stories of creation were collected and put together and adapted for the author's purposes, whether it's for national identity or for unity at a time of trouble. If we interpret these stories as historical account, not as historical accounts, I'm sorry, but as ways that people were trying to understand the world and God, then what do we need to do? What we need to do is have an inquisitive mind to be open to learning. With this understanding, I believe there's room for both science and faith to work together. My takeaways from Genesis 1 and 2 are not when or how the world or people were created in the beginning, but they are what God was doing and how God was able to restore order and create new life out of chaos. In Genesis 2, God created the Garden of Eden. This word means delight. The root word of Eden also denotes fertility. Therefore, Eden is the place where things are growing and flourishing and bringing delight and joy to God and its inhabitants. As intelligent beings, we are called to partnership with God, to heal and take care of God's creation, to make the world a delightful place to live in, like the Garden of Eden. I believe science can help us achieve this goal. It allows us to treat diseases so that people could live longer. Imagine if we don't have vaccines for all kinds of viruses or treatments for different life-threatening diseases. How horrible life would be. Science also helps us develop technologies that improve our lives and bring the world closer together. Science is showing us how to live better and to correct our harmful ways of living that are destroying God's creation. For example, Miguel de la Torre, in his book Doing Christian Ethics from the Margins, gives evidence to the destructive human activities from scientific studies. Yet many people who are believers continue to ignore the facts and simply quoting scriptures out of context to say that the earth can only be destroyed if God allows it to be. If we continue to ignore science and all the presented evidence, then sooner or later, we won't have a planet, a viable planet to live on. As United Methodists, we are aware of the Wesleyan quadrilateral, which consists of scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. We use all these four sources to interpret our faith. Scripture holds primacy. However, it is enhanced through tradition, live in experience and reason. And I believe science provides us with reasons to help us become better stewards of creation. Even John Wesley used science to help people of his time. He gave out free medicines at the foundry on Fridays. And he also wrote a book of medical recipes called Primitive Physic. There's room for collaboration between science and religion. Science can help religion make more informed decisions, while religion can help science make ethical and moral decisions. Now, I want to make a little excursion to address another point about evolution and religion, which was also presented as part of this original question asked. In theology, there is something known as theistic evolution, where the 7 days of creation are thought to have taken place over a period of millions or billions of years, thus allowing God to create them naturally through the process of evolution. Philip Clayton, in his book Religion and Science, The Basics, says, "Perhaps each day of God's creation was actually a period in the evolution of the cosmos, lasting billions of years. Perhaps God created Adam and Eve using the natural laws established at the moment of creation, including a process of biological evolution that God established and guided." As I have mentioned earlier, the important takeaway from Genesis 1 and 2 is not when or how everything was created, but what God was doing and what God is calling us to do. One of my favorite Bible verses is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, which says, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." The Hebrew word ruach used here can mean either wind or spirit. Even in the beginning, when darkness and chaos of the deep was exerting its force, God's spirit was present to restore order. I believe the life-giving spirit of God is present in our world through different means. And science is one of those means which God uses to restore, heal, and redeem creation and bring order out of chaos. There's a story in the newspaper in New Delhi, northern India. Lived a pair of identical twins named Jofred and Ralfred Gregory. They always wore matching clothes and had everything in common. They studied the same major and tried to replicate each other's looks. They loved each other very much. As the pandemic was moving through India and many people were coming down with COVID-19, both Jofred and Ralfred were also tested positive for the virus. They were treated at home until their conditions worsened and they were hospitalized. On May 13, Jofred, the older twin, passed away. Sensing that his brother was no longer alive, despite his mother's attempt to keep his spirits up by saying that he was still alive, Ralfred knew that his brother had passed away. So he entered into a period of depression. And the very next day, he also passed away. The tragic story was spreading all over India's social media, and people were experiencing a high number of daily death toll. Stories like Jofred and Ralfred are devastating, but such tragedies are not uncommon, especially in times of pandemic. even in our circle of friends and families, we know people who are affected by COVID or have lost loved ones. As the world plunged into a dark period of COVID-19 pandemic, many nations in the world experienced devastation from it. Earlier on, our country was one of the hardest countries hit. As we are speaking, the world is heading toward another period of isolation and outbreak due to the Delta variant. We need help from science to bring down the number of COVID cases and death toll. Science helps us to develop vaccines and cures for the coronavirus. It helps us to prevent millions of other deaths like those of Jofred and Ralfred and many other people, which would inevitably take place if there were no vaccines. Therefore, science is a tool that God can use to improve human conditions and help us live better lives. Let us remain open to the different means that God is using to help us live a life full of grace. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Derek, for your sermon today. As you know, friends, we have a tradition of just taking a moment at the end of every message to try to come up with a tangible thing that we can do in the coming week that might inform us or help us to grow in our faith. My invitation to you is to read again the text that was read this morning. Read again Genesis 1 and 2. Part of what Pastor Derek said early on in his message is that this story might be something that we can look at in terms of how does God call us to live our lives. The authors of this story exploring how God is powerful for them even in the midst of varying circumstances. So I would invite you to read Genesis 1 and 2 again and read it with fresh eyes and look for how you can find in that story, look for how you can find in that story how God is calling you to live your life today.